G'day, Novocastrians. This is the Jetstream podcast. This is Ferns. And this is a chat that I had with a couple of our opposition fan podcasts across the A-League. First up, you're going to hear Steve from the About You Now podcast talking about Adelaide United. Then we're going to be talking to Pricey from the Rawcast. And then it's going to finish off with Wallace from the All Out West podcast talking about Western United. Hoping to be talking to a couple more of the podcasts as we go on. They're going to be organised and we'll release those in the coming weeks. But please enjoy this first episode. And first up is going to be Steve from the About You Now podcast. All right, very pleased now to be joined by Steve from the About You Now podcast to talk everything Adelaide United. Steve, how you going, mate?
Good, mate. Thanks for having us on.
No
Great to
worries.
speak to you.
We've had some audio issues to try and to try and get this whole thing happening, and we're finally recording this off my phone. So if the audio quality's not quite what you're used to, we do apologise. But mate, really appreciate your patience because we're about 15 minutes later than I said we were going to be. It's been a pretty good pre-season for you guys. You're in the final of the FFA Cup. We'll talk about that in a minute, but. With the other games that you played, how's everybody feeling about Adelaide's chances this season?
Look, I think it's pretty positive over this way. We know that with a new coach coming in, it's always a big task to change a system. The way we played under Kurtz will be very different to the way we played this year. And obviously, having a couple of high-profile outs, everyone's over this way just interested to see how we gel together.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an interesting decision from the Adelaide United board to get rid of Marco Kurtz. It seemed like the fans were really happy with him, but the board never really seemed to settle with him. Is that sort of how it's all played out?
Yeah, I think over this way, there was a majority of fans were pretty happy with him, and there were some that weren't though. With the way we played the game, more of a pragmatic style, and sometimes even if we got the win, it wasn't the best watch for some people. I personally enjoyed our tenure under Kurtz, but since he's left, the board have been a little bit more open about their reasoning behind it, and a lot of it's come down to the fact that there was no link between our youth squad and our senior squad. Marco Kurtz wasn't a coach that was interested in watching our youth team and seeing who we could bring through. He was more interested in getting his first team together and getting the best out of them, which doesn't suit the way that the new owners have perceived our club to go. They want to put a more emphasis on not losing SA players, quality SA players, to other states, and making sure that the players themselves see a pathway from youth squads right down to juniors through to seniors, which is something that we haven't really done in Adelaide that well. Although we have picked up quite a few youth players in our time, we've let a lot go and let a lot slip through our fingers.
Well, it seems to be a bit of a catch-22 in this league, really, especially with regards to overseas coaches. You come in and you're expected to perform straight off the bat and show an instant improvement. So, what does a coach do? Is he going to be given the time to bring those youth players through and hope he strikes gold with a couple of them that are going to be able to help him keep his job for the short term? Or do you go for more senior players that are going to be able to be a little bit more reliable and you're going to be able to get more of a result out of them quickly rather than the slow build of bringing you through and watching them develop? But yeah, I sort of see both sides of the equation. It's an overseas coach especially would get brought into this league to probably to look to develop your club onto the next step. But yeah, if you can't if that's not what the board has, and obviously I think from memory Marco Kurtz came in before the takeover from the current ownership happened, there's gonna be a period where both sides are trying to work out what each other wants from the club, and it just seemed like, yeah, they were never fully on the same page.
Yeah, definitely. I think that came to a head when Marco himself came out in the media and said, Scott had called him out directly that he hadn't been spoken to about his new contract and he expected it to be done. I think when that came out, we knew that there was a bit of a rift between them to, because generally, if you're going to keep your job, you don't call out your boss.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, some interesting and some fairly high-profile outs for you for this season. SIS was released, Scott Galloway's gone to Melbourne City, Bubba Diawara was released, and Craig Goodwin got a transfer to Al Wader over in, I'm assuming it's the Emirates. But those are some pretty big losses and some pretty big holes to fill. You have brought in Riley McGree and James Troisi, two big Australian ones, and four overseas players. How have you seen, first off, were you, how are the fans with those players going, and do you think you've recruited well enough to cover their absence?
Well, in terms of the players going out, I think Goodwin, we all expected, was on limited time with just the performances he'd had early in the season. That cup run he had was amazing, and you score two goals to win your team the FFA Cup, and people are going to be looking at you, and especially Asia with Australian players. So we kind of knew that it'd be a hard ask to keep him, so I don't think anyone was too surprised to lose him, but Isaias shocked a few people.
Yeah.
No one really expected him to be going. He was still under contract, and they were talking about renewing his contract, the club. So we all expected him to stay, and he's obviously an integral part of our team last year and the past few years. The situation with that was basically that SIS had gone to the club and said what the offer was from a Saudi club. A Qatari club.
Yep.
And just said, look, for my family, for my future, I'd like to do this. And the club let him go with no hard feelings. And to be fair, the reaction from the fans was very similar. It was very much, he's paid his dues to our club, he loves the club, and this opportunity for him and his family is too good to pass up. So there was really no animosity with him leaving. In terms of Diawara, I think with the injuries he had, it was time for him to go. He hadn't performed enough for the wages he was on. And Scotty Galloway was a little bit disappointing for me personally. I thought he had a really good year for us, and was a lock in that position, and that left back's quite hard to fill as an Australian player too sometimes. Yeah. So I was a bit disappointed to see him go, but I wish him luck for this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, one of the, I suppose one of the criticisms the last couple of seasons with Adelaide United has been you're a really solid team, especially at the back and in the middle of the park, but you've just always struggled to find a regular goal scorer. Do you think with the players that you've got on your books now, Halloran, Kiddo, McGree, Troisi, that's Blackwood, Milosevic, that's a pretty potent set of players to be able to choose from in the attacking stakes. Do you think finally this is going to be the season where Adelaide's going to break out and score piles of goals?
I think we'll score more goals than we have recently, yeah. Not just for those players, and I'll take that point. I agree with you completely that we've got a lot of players that can score goals now, and you know, a foreign striker like Opset's always a little bit of a risk because you don't know how they'll adapt to the Australian game and the heat and the hard pitches. The young player, Al Hassan Toure, he's shown already that he can play the game and he can get in the right positions, and he's got an eye for goals. So I do see that that will help us. But also just the style of play that Verbeek's brought in, it looks to be a style where we'll definitely score more goals. But perhaps we'll leak a few more than in previous years as well, which I'm okay with.
So it's possibly going to be a little bit more attacking, but maybe a little bit more risky.
Yeah, I think so. We'll leave ourselves a little bit more exposed at times by the way we play, but we'll also create a lot of chances. And I think, as you said, we seem to have a lot of players that can put the ball in the net, whereas in previous years we've relied heavily. I mean, I think 2 years ago, Ryan Kiddo was our leading goal scorer with like five or six. So I think we've got an even spread of people that can put the ball in the net at the moment, which is good signs for us.
Yeah, the other player that came in from Charlotte Independence was Maria. What position is he playing, and what are you expecting from him?
He's predominantly in his past played at left back, but we've had him out on the left wing. And Ryan Kiddo has dropped back into the left-back position. And to be fair, he's been absolutely killing it there. Maria, he's been out the last couple of weeks with an adductor strain, as far as we know. The club, as always, A-League clubs not necessarily giving a lot of information on their injuries. But I expect him to start out on the left wing. And I think he's a quick player and he's got like reasonably good control at speed. So I think that we'll see a lot of him getting around the back and cutting the ball back in for the likes of Obseth, Troisi at the top of the box, and maybe even looping a couple in for Obseth. He's not a small striker.
All right. What player are you most excited to see big things from this season? And who do you think maybe underperformed last season that really needs to step up this season and have a good performances?
In terms of Adelaide?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm excited to see what Obseth can do. He only had one full game and coming off the bench. And I've seen two or three times he slipped in little passes that unlocked defences. And I think maybe he can be that guy that sort of unlocks everything in the centre for us. So I'm excited to see him. Maybe not necessarily having a bad season last year, but I expect Nathan Konstantopoulos to really step up. He's young, so last year he was sort of just breaking into the squad and he was in and out all year, but his more recent performances, both in the Cup and towards the end of last season, I thought that he was really good. Strong on the ball, has a great shot on him, and I think he can surprise a few people. Being a local lad, sometimes those guys go under the radar for other clubs, and he might pop up and do some damage this year, I think.
All right. How are you expecting to go in the FFA Cup final, and where do you think you're going to finish at the end of the season for the Premiership, and how far do you think you can get through the finals?
Yeah, well, in terms of the FFA Cup, it's a bit of a lottery in a final. We know that we've got the home crowd advantage, and I think league-wide, Coopers is known as a stadium that's quite raucous and can get the team up and about, so that goes for us. But in saying that, City have been playing very good football. Probably their least cohesive game was the last one that they just played against Brisbane Strikers. So maybe that's a sign of things to come for us. But it's going to be a tough game. Two really good teams, and probably the two teams that look the best through the Cup have got there. So I think it's going to be a great final, and I'm not going to bet against us. So hopefully we get the win and take our third FFA Cup final.
All right, and where are you expecting Adelaide to finish during the season and for finals?
In the season, look, it's a really tough season. It's tough to pick. It's tough to pick even your top six, but yeah. I'd like to see us make the final. Or obviously, like to see us make the finals. I think that we could push for a fourth spot again. I'd like to see us go higher, but again, this season, it's a very tough ask to pick even who's going to be in the six and who's going to be out, because everyone. I think maybe Wellington haven't recruited so well, but other than them, everyone's looking like a chance.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll give us fourth spot, but yeah, you know, they could change to seventh to through to third. So
yeah. All right. Well, who do you think's going to be the premiers, and who do you think are going to be the champions?
Well, it's hard to back against Sydney with the recruitment they've done. I know their preseason hasn't been that good, but I think they've brought in some good players without disrupting too much of their squad. The likes of Barmiohan, if he can perform, which he showed flashes of for Western Sydney, but if he can do it for Sydney, and I think they've got the cover to allow him to do that a bit more. And Costa Barbarossa's moving over from Victory, it makes it hard to see that Sydney wouldn't take that minor premiership out. And was the other question, sorry, the finalist, winner?
The champion, yeah. Who's going to win the FFA Cup? The A-League final.
Well, if I'm back in Sydney to win that, it's hard to go past them in the finals as well. But like I said, the Melbourne Victory are looking very strong, and so are Perth. But I'm going to back Sydney.
Yeah, it'll be definitely interesting to see how it all pans out, because, yeah, you're right. And also with Victory taking your old coach, it's going to be interesting to see what sort of time it's going to take to get everything bedded in, and see whether it's going to be a season of mid-table mediocrity in an 11-team comp. But yeah, just see how that all ends up. But mate, thanks very much for joining us. If people want to check out the podcast, whereabouts can they get in contact, and where can they subscribe?
So you can find us on Spotify and iTunes and any podcasting apps that you use. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. We also have a Twitter page, but it's not used quite so much. But
Yep.
yeah, Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome. No worries, mate. Steve from the About You Now podcast, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us, mate.
All right, so we're very, very grateful, pleased to be joined by Pricey from the Rawcast, talking all things Brisbane Raw. Mate, how are you going this afternoon?
Ah, fantastic. It's been a lovely long weekend afternoon up here.
Yeah, yeah. It's, well, you don't have to worry too much about daylight saving and losing an hour of sleep, but it's, yeah, no, it's great weather down here in Newcastle, I must admit, but it's good all around the country by the sounds of it. Mate, getting into your team, before we get to the two sort of big stories about your major player and a coach coming in, how's your preseason been shaping up? How's your performances been against local competition, and how'd you go in the FFA Cup, and what are your thoughts on what's happening, or how you're situated for the season ahead?
Yeah, absolutely. So preseason, I guess we had a massive clean out up here in Brisbane. So the main, you can only go look at an ins and outs list, and it's like 15 out, 15 in.
Yeah.
So huge changeover in the off season for us. But it's a really fresh start with everything that's going on. So so it's a completely new team. And preseason, to be honest, it went against the local teams went pretty well. We did just have a 2-2 draw on the weekend, so we're just to finish it off, which wasn't a great result. But apart from that, it's generally been pretty good. So a couple of really strong results and putting teams away. So Robbie Fowler's obviously come in, and it looks like we're going to be playing a 3-4-3 formation. So that's going to be a bit different for
Ambitious.
Us. Yeah. So maybe try and fix some of our defensive issues by having a few more defenders. So the squad composition has been really interesting as well. Like, it's sort of raided the lower leagues. We haven't been bringing in, we haven't brought in big names as such like that. I mean, Moya Donovan's probably, and we'll get on to him, obviously.
Yep.
It's been the big name that we brought in, but, we sort of raided Bury, a couple of players that were related to them, so Tom Aldred and JHGA, they look pretty good, so, and a couple of other lower league sort of players floating around as well. So it's been a really mixed bag, and, a couple of recycling as A-League players as well, just on top of that.
Just for good measure.
Yeah, just for good measure, Everyone needs to recycle a couple of ex-Central Coast Mariners players. So,
yeah.
I mean, Jiang and West Melbourne Victory went to Central Coast and didn't even play a game for them and came up here. So it was an interesting one of the off-season. So it started pretty well. And obviously we had a good round one of the FFA Cup. We went away and beat Sydney FC. So
yeah,
that was a really good result. And
first
time we've actually beaten A-League opposition in pre-season. So that was certainly nice. But then lost on penalties with Central Coast Mariners. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
But in reality, we did sort of dominate that game and just couldn't put a couple of good key chances away. And then went that mongrel Matt Simon in the back, and he gave us a gobble standing behind those goals, as he does. He's
yep.
such a lovely bloke.
Yep.
And then just couldn't get the penalties done, so the goalkeeper did well for the Mariners. Can't think of who the goalkeeper is this year, but
Probably not Dan Kennedy, but that's fine.
It wasn't Dan Kennedy, it was someone competent.
I think your payback ended up coming anyway to the game where City knocked him out after getting Matt Simon sent off. So, I think swings and roundabouts. But do you think that it's going to be a matter of it's probably going to take Brisbane a few rounds to get settled, to work out what the best team is, to work out the style of play, and then maybe look to it's probably a season you're not expecting any trees to be pulled up, or are you thinking that maybe Brisbane can surprise a few people and hit the ground running?
I think because we did a lot of our signings early, there is a chance that we could hit the ground running. Our last couple of games in preseason, maybe, although we did have a 5-0 win over the NPL, Queensland NPL champions, couple of weeks back, but I think they might have been drunk still from the grand final, so maybe next week counts that one. But so the couple more recent ones have been a bit more but then we started well, and Brad Inman has actually been scoring quite a few goals for us, and seems to be a bit of a surprise packet. We could surprise, because it is going to be a completely different lineup. Whether it clicks or not, that's going to be a big key, and sort of a couple of injuries as well. So we haven't seen much of Dillman or Hall in preseason due to injury. So, it could all click, and it could just be this magic, you know, could happen. It seems unlikely. I don't know if he can really take the A-League by storm by doing that anymore, but at least our performances should be much better and you know, be a bit more consistent with performance as well. So it's a bit of a stop-start to us. I mean, you guys are in the same boat, I know, down in Newcastle, because we play away in Perth round one, and then we have the bye.
Yeah.
I know you guys have the bye round one, and that's sort of, you know, that makes it a bit stop-start easily, start of your season, play a game, have another week off. But maybe, you know, that might give you more chance to work on things and stuff like that. So, it's, you know, I think we certainly should be giving the Six a shake. But then any team in the A-League should be capable of giving the Six a shake, really. So, you know, and that's, whether we win it, I don't think we'll win it. But, you know, we certainly should be much better than we were last season. Which,
yeah,
you know,
hoping to push your way into the top six, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people have got us pegged, somewhere around the edge of the six. So whether we're just outside or just inside.
Yeah. Well, obviously the big news story at the beginning, well, during that long stretch of desert that is the off-season in the A-League, was the appointment of Robbie Fowler as the Brisbane Roar coach. Was it something that sort of come out of the blue, or had you heard it being rumbled on for a few weeks? And what, it's obviously a bit of a risk appointing a first-time coach, someone that hasn't coached at any sort of professional level before, and someone who's really looking to cut his teeth and use the A-League as a launching pad for himself. Obviously, Robbie Fowler's had some history with Australia, being over here before as a player, but how have you found his early weeks, and what do you think we can expect from him throughout the season? Because obviously a coach that's been around for a fair while is going to have a little bit more tactical acumen and be able to affect the game during the game with substitutions and knowing when to stick or twist or when to make changes. But a player with Robbie Fowler's experience, you would hope, would be able to pick up some of that by osmosis just purely from being a player and at the top level. So how have you found him? And to start off with, what was the lead up to his signing like?
So, I mean, obviously we sacked Alan Lucy reasonably early into the season last year, and Robbie Fowler would link with us probably within a week of him being sacked. So, you know, he was on the front foot earlier, at least a manager was, or something like that. But then it took all season to actually be announced, and we got quite annoyed at how long the process was taking and the fact that he was only really announced sort of about a week before the season ended. But, look, you know, there was probably, I think, a lot of other circumstances around that as well. I mean, he would have had some connections and things that he had to do with Liverpool and all of that. So, look, I think he is actually quite switched on, and he's brought out a very good assistant coach with him. He was at Blackpool, whose name escapes me for the moment. But
not Ian Holloway. Come on, tell me it's Ian Holloway.
No. He's an assistant well after Ian Holloway was there, which is great because with our ownership structure, he knows how to deal with dodgy owners who don't pay anyone. So, you know, really, and he's used to going to Col Orange. So, and him and this guy, I'm sorry that the name escapes me. So him and Robbie Fowler, they went through like a coaching course together and are really switched on. So I think you've sort of got this motivator on top person, Robbie, and then you've got this really technical person underneath him to really drive the direction. So it was frustrating that it took a long time, but then I think there was clearly some planning in the background because a lot of these signings were announced early. You know, we won't bring them in late. The visa issues weren't there. You know, and clearly those two guys had a pretty good eye across the lower. I mean, especially the guy, Ruckel guy, had a good eye across the lower leagues of England where we've brought in a bunch of our players.
Barry, Shrewsbury, Carlisle, Rochdale, online from Burnley, Salford City. Yeah, there's heaps of players from the lower leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. So So that's it. There's that knowledge across there and of where they've all come from and, you know, so well known. And, you know they can perform to a certain level, so... Yeah, so that was frustrating, but it was nice and finally got announced. And I mean, he obviously was out here for about the second last game or something like that, or the last game of the season, and you know, to get introduced, and then he sort of went back home. Liverpool had that Champions League thing or something they did. I don't know. Just a little event. Well, yeah. It wasn't that important, especially to us Tottenham fans. So you know, and then obviously back out here pre-season, but you know, it's been full in there. You'll hear a lot of lads, a good bunch of lads. You know, a lot of calling them the lads. So, you know, that seems to be a very common phrase. And, you know, they've obviously got an idea of how they want to play. And he at least does come with that knowledge of the A-League, like you said. Like, he knows what the distances are like. I mean, he played for North Queensland and Perth Glory. So he knows about the travel sort of thing. So, you know, he would have been up front and honest, I think, with his players. And about, but also about what the experience can be like. So yeah, you're right, he doesn't have the experience, but then he could work, and you know, he wants to prove himself. He's said all the right things in the media, so it's been really interesting. He can obviously still run his property selling business out here. There are ads going around now for property seminars. There's at least doing one in Melbourne and one in Brisbane, so maybe he's coming to your fair shores in Newcastle, get on board the Robbie Fowler property experience.
Yep,
yeah. You know, and you know, he can expand his property portfolio around Brisbane as well. So, and just like we're looking at an Arthur City. So, yeah, it took a long time to happen, the coaching appointment process, but in the end, it seems to have happened quite well. So,
yeah,
and that's not how that one's happened.
Well, you mentioned the ownership, which has continued to be an issue that's bubbled along in the background, whether it's taking forever to sign Robbie Fowler or pay players, for instance. How is that all going? Is it sort of basically they're bringing in all these new flashy toys to sort of distract people from what's going on behind the scenes? Is there much coming out from what's going on behind the scenes? It sort of seems to be something that the FFA, with all everything else that's going on, they haven't really had much time to do anything about, but will they be able to do anything with regards to the new independent A-League coming in? Has that sort of secured the backer group's position, or is the club still up for sale? What's sort of happening from the administration side of things?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think if someone came along and offered the right amount of money, I dare say the backers would sell, but they're always talking about how much they've invested in the club and they want that money back,
yeah,
which is upwards of $25
million. Not going to happen.
Yeah, no one's paying $25 million to buy Brisbane Roar Football Club, which loses constantly a couple of million a season. So, I mean, I think at the moment we have a general manager, CEO, Dave Pure, who I guess has understood the backer is the best out of all of our sort of general manager people and knows how to, you know, do the right thing. So, you know, we're not, I dare say we're not splashing a huge amount of cash. I'm not even sure if we've got a marquee this season. I would probably, sorry, Roy Donovan would be. I don't know if we'd be spending marquee money on anyone else, or if we are, it's sort of one of those ones where it's just the highest paid player is outside the cap. You know, it's not a $1 million a player, season player. So that's sort of, you know, I think we have reined in the spending. Obviously, we're taking 3 games out to Redcliffe this season, and that is going to be saving the club. I think, are we playing Newcastle out at Redcliffe? I don't know if we are. If you're one of the 3 games we've taken out there, I don't think you are.
I don't think so. We did play in something on the Gold Coast, but that was...
That was pre-season. Yeah. Dolphin, Perth Glory. Who's the third one? Round 27. Yeah, round 27 we're playing you out at Redcliffe.
So okay.
And that's an interesting sort of venue. It's much smaller. It barely fits about 10,000 in. So it should be really interesting how that goes. So that's going to save the club a hell of a lot of money as well. Like we're talking, I have heard sort of $500,000 that might save the club. Playing, because we just lose so much playing at Suncorp. So.
Is that a possible venue change that could happen down the track? Would you be happy with that and getting out of Suncorp?
I mean, I think people know that we need to have something other than Suncorp, but in actual Brisbane, you have nothing between pretty much playing at Suncorp Stadium, or I guess you get a QSAC with a running track and it's dilapidated. Ballymore's falling apart and needs to be demolished. Or you're literally at a community level facility like Perry Park. Like, we've got nothing between about 5,000 and the 50,000 capacity sort of stuff. And Redcliffe is a fair way out. I mean, anyone can go on Google Maps, but it's about 45 minutes out of the city. And the train sort of gets you most of the way, but you're still going to have a bus connection. At least it's got parking around it, so that's a positive. But there's not much there. You know, people just turn up, watch the football and leave. And there's a little bit of corporate, but not a huge amount. So they're trialling it, I guess. I think the sustainability of the club long term, something needs to happen, because we're never going to get 25,000-30,000 week in, week out, and make Suncorp Stadium the place to play. At the moment we're training in Logan and we have home games in Redcliffe, which, it's probably about a good hour and a half between almost driving. That's not great for the players either. So, closer between Central Coast and Newcastle almost. I think to bring it back to the backers, the independent A-League, they seem to have been pretty key in that. And I think, indeed, even our good old mate, Mr. Chris Fong, I think has been involved in maybe being the people sort of on the board from sort of, you know, from the A-League side, so yeah, sort of helping run things. So I think they're very much invested in that, and I guess now they'll have their say and they can run things how they want. So, you know, that's what I mean. I don't think they're going to sell up unless, I don't think it's a fire sale for sure, but I think they're, if someone came along and offered them $30 million, yeah, they'd probably sell, but I don't think there's that group aren't there.
Doesn't seem likely to happen.
No. So, but I think that it has been better. The money is a little more stable. And that's down to, I think, our general manager, Dave Perrott, runs a better ship in that regard. He doesn't expand the business too crazily where, you know, they just end up losing a bunch of money unexpectedly. It's very structured in how they probably know they're going to go money-wise and you know, not paying Marcy stupid amounts of money. Not that we've ever had a stupid amount of money, Marcy, in Brisbane, but, yeah, probably wheeling that back in a bit.
All right, well, speaking about the other side of the coin with spending a bit of money, you did manage to lure Roy O'Donovan away from the Jets with the offer of a larger contract. How has the general supporter base seen the acquisition of a player who no doubt scores goals, but also no doubt has a bit of an attitude problem when it comes to restraining his temper on the field and tends to be missing for up to 9 to 10 weeks for suspension?
Yeah, well, it's nice that he turns up and he doesn't have one of them hanging over his head. So that helps a lot. But it's an interesting one. I think he's almost flown a little bit under the radar, I feel like. I think because there's been so much change across the board that it just feels like a whole new squad. And I haven't seen too many people complaining about, about his record. And I think it's just we'll see how he goes. He's a known goal scorer in the league. Probably, I guess, maybe the main annoyance might be is that, there's a lot of love for Dylan Wenzel-Halls up here as he came on last season, stroking mullets and all that. That, we want to see him sort of get a go. It's like, well, this is another player in his way. So maybe, you know, we're not going to be able to sell Roy O'Donovan for money, but a Dylan Wenzel-Halls, if he had a, 15, 20 goal season, he might sort of, be someone he could actually sell and make some money for. So that's maybe that side of thing. So, yeah, it's funny. He's sort of a bit under the radar. He was announced so early as well that in the rumoured for a bit, I think it wasn't necessarily a surprise that he came up here in the end. But I think he will, he's obviously going to be up front. We're sort of playing sort of a two up front sort of system. So, there is a space for someone else up there and a chance for him to flood out wide and not just be the single target man as well. So, it should hopefully, free him up to hopefully get in behind a bit more and sort of drag defences apart. So it should be really interesting how that sort of works and who fills in behind and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But, yeah, like I said, he's just a little bit on the radar because it has been just so much change, I think. If it had only been three or four players, I think there would have been a lot more talk about him. But just the whole sweeping changes, he's quite on the radar a bit. Incidentally, he's actually been made vice captain of the club.
I did see that along with Tom Aldred has been named captain.
Yeah, Tom Aldred captain, yeah, so right. Yeah, so obviously he's well respected within the playing group for that to happen. So, that's interesting.
Well, it's certainly going to be, you're right, it's going to be interesting to see what eventuates. Obviously, also with the, like you mentioned, the large amount of ins and outs, are there any, apart from Wenzel-Halls, is there any other players that you're hoping to see a big season, and any of the players that have hung around that you're also hoping to have a big season this season?
Our big signing last season was Stephen Mork, who came in and got injured within a couple of games. And so we didn't see him at all. And he may be actually the other player that's potentially on marquee money. And I think we actually paid a transfer fee for him. So, he was obviously a player that we really, we did not see the best of, and it'd be really good to see much better out of him. Dylan Wenzel-Halls is certainly a fan favourite, so, and everyone wants to see him go well because he just plays with passion and he plays with everything that you want for someone who's just excited to be out there. He's everything you want in a player to be out there representing a club. Connor O'Toole was another long-term injury that he's a good young left back, so it'd be really interesting to see, does he play in the back three, does he play the wide role? I think he might play the wide role, so it'd be really good to see how he sort of comes on. And we've just got a lot of really good young, obviously we won the Y League last season, so we have a lot of good young players around. Like, we had Isaac Powell made his debut last season and Jordan Courtney Perkins, both really good young players. So, sort of those players sort of kicking on as well. Remon Akbari coming back, the Admiral Akbari as he is.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm always up for a Star Wars pun.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Bring back Star Wars around? No?
No, let's not do that.
Not do that. So it's always great when you have a player come back the other way from Melbourne victory, which the World Tour put in pass for players to leave us and go to Melbourne victory. So same with Jai Ying as well. So yeah, I think they're sort of the young ones that we're really keen to sort of kick on and go through. And we had that sort of the youth team. We've still got Mirza Muradovic as well from the squad. So he's a youth team. He was sort of part of our front three that was going pretty well, along with Shannon Brady and another one whose name slips me. So he's a really good young player as well. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes. So, yeah, it's you've got all good young players, and you hope maybe that all these players coming in, that they still potentially get a chance. And hopefully Robbie Fowler's history with youth football will still make him look at these younger players. So, and hopefully they get to play in the right position as well. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right. Nothing like a young right winger getting forced into right back to make you scratch your head.
All right, well, money on the table. Where do you think Brisbane Roar finish? Who do you think's going to win the premiership, and who do you think's going to win the championship?
All right, I think that Brisbane Roar finish about fifth.
Yep.
I think we've got a good enough squad. If it's clicks, we'll make finals. I don't think we'll push in the top couple of teams. I think they'll probably stay pretty similar to last season. Melbourne Victory, I think, will invest pretty well in their team. I think Sydney FC I think Perth Glory just had enough change. They might just struggle a little bit and drop back to the pack a bit. So I think Sydney FC will probably win. And I'll go Perth Glory to return the favour and win the grand final.
Great stuff. All right. Well, thanks very much, Bryce, for joining us. Really appreciate it. If people want to check out the Rawcast, where can they subscribe and how can they get in contact?
Absolutely. So we upload the Rawcast onto anchor.fm. So that's a new thing for us this year. So it's a great little platform for us. And you can even leave messages for us. So we'll be pushing that. Otherwise, generally, facebook.com/TheRawcast or twitter.com/TheRawcast. And we'll always post out our new episodes on there as well. But subscribe and like us on all the platforms. If there's not a platform we're not on, then let me know and I'll make sure we're on it. So yeah. That's pretty much how we roll.
We are much the same, mate. Really appreciate you joining us. And we'll hopefully speak to you again throughout the season.
Yeah, no worries, Ben. To you too.
All right, now very happy to be joined by Wallace from the All Out West podcast to talk everything about a new club to the league, Western United. Wallace, thanks for joining us on the Jetstream.
Not a problem, mate. Happy to be here. Happy to provide a bit of new content for the league this season.
Yeah, no, it's great, actually. People have obviously been screaming for new blood into this league. And as the new guys on the block, how's the preparation been going since you found out you guys got the license and there's going to be a new team in your area?
There's been a lot of excitement, which has been amazing to be a part of. Obviously there's a bit of, there's some people who wanted the Dandenong bid to get up, which is the other side of town, and yep. A lot of people came for Tassie and Wollongong, but it's been amazing. I think the club have engaged the community really well. There's been a lot of forums around town. It's been amazing. I've really enjoyed it. The club been approachable. They've been at all the preseason games. We've spoken to Lou or Morris multiple times. Steve's been there as well. Just, it's a really good dynamic that I didn't see from other clubs around, especially in Melbourne at the time. I'm not sure how it is up your way.
Yeah, how has the pre-season results and everything been? Obviously, we saw a slow start from Wanderers when they started back in 2012, I think it was. Obviously, you're having to get an entirely new team, get them all stitched together, and it can be a bit of a patience game, waiting for everything to work out and players to learn each other's roles and how they're all going to react and adjust to what the coach wants. So how have you seen the performances in the preseason games?
I've been to a couple and they've been very good. I went to the first game. It was really nice to see kind of people finding their footing. It's good to see McDonald playing, Diamante. A couple of young fellas are really good. Cavallo, he's a gun. Seeing him do his things quite good. Big fan of Valentino Yule. He scored in pretty much every preseason match till he did his ankle.
Yep.
So it's good to see just how it's changed since the last match, which I went to was the Sydney one. I didn't go to the Wanderers, but that was good. Improved drastically defensively and in attacking component.
Yeah, so it's all been fairly positive, and what are you expecting to see in the first couple of games?
I think the big question is what the other teams are going to feel, because Wellington are claiming to be undefeated prior to the season starting, so that leaves a bit of a grey area over the first game. I think they're going to go well. They've got a pretty good formation. I think they're in the 5-2-1. So it's going to be interesting. It's a very defence heavy, so I'm not expecting a lot of goals, but I'm expecting some flourishes of attacking flair.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
So it should be pretty interesting.
The one interesting thing is when the license was approved, there was obviously provisions in the bid for a stadium to be built at Tarneit. Obviously, you're playing your games down in Geelong, which I'm looking at Google Maps now, and it's a good 50-55 minutes away from each other. How's that affecting the people that are going to be part of this club? It's such a long way to travel. Are you finding that it's possibly that whole corridor is what you're looking to bring in as supporters anyway, or do you think that maybe it's going to be a case of just building slowly until you get that new stadium built and you're able to move into it?
I think once the stadium comes in, it's going to really bolster the supporting base, especially in Tarneit. And I think that is currently a bit of a barrier to people going to Geelong. I think there was around 3,000 people there at the Wanderers game on Saturday.
Yep.
So I think depending on how well Geelong interacts with the club, which hopefully they get on board because it is a club for all of the West, I think it's a little bit of a hindrance at the moment for the to Tarneit and the Wyndham area, which is quite a large growth corridor.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of games being played out of Ballarat, which again, whether or not that's going to hinder the development of the fan base, I don't know, but I think it's good to encourage interest in those areas. The Sydney game was done there, and that was at Moorshead Park, which is a purpose-built soccer stadium, and that was quite nice. But games will be played out of Mars Stadium, which is another AFL-style ground, so I'm not sure how that will pan out.
Ed, I've noticed looking at the figures and stuff for the memberships, I think Western United were hovering around, I think, about 2,500, 2,000 to 2,500. Is that probably going to be about as expected until you guys can get this stadium built? And has there been any news about what's happening with that before the season kicks off?
I think we're at about 2,000 at the moment, which is pretty healthy start of the season. Haven't kicked a professional ball yet.
Yeah.
But I think a metric of success would be the 4-5 capacity for the season, depending on performance. It really depends on how well it plays as to that. What else did you say? Sorry, I'll go stuck on the numbers there.
Yeah, that's right. Has there been any news on moving ahead with the stadium? What's happening with it?
Well, that's going well from what I've heard. Maurice Bassetto has removed himself from being CEO. Well, not removed himself, but he's been removed as CEO to go into pushing the stadium. From what I hear, ground is going to break November, which is on track with the initial timeline, with construction in 20 months, I believe.
Yep. Well, okay. That's probably quick.
Yeah, that's a quick turnaround. You don't get that in the public sector.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're hoping that it's going to be something that's sorted, you know, it's something you're hopefully going to be in, maybe in your third season, you're going to be able to be, in your new home and be able to make it yours.
Definitely. definitely. Well, it's walking distance from my house, so I'm hoping to be able to get tanked and just walk home.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the dream. That's the dream of every football fan. So looking across at your squad, you've got a very wide range of players that you've been able to bring in. Who are you most excited to see? I mean, you've obviously been able to bring back Scott McDonald. You've just signed Besat Berisha in the last couple of days. You stole Ivan Vujica from us, and also a couple of players from Wellington Phoenix, and just have a talk about Mark Rudan being your inaugural coach, and maybe a slightly contentious way he left Wellington Phoenix to join you guys.
I think Rudan's leaving of Wellington's going to add a bit of spice to the first game, if you will. I think we got an amazing coach. He did great things with Wellington, and I can understand the vitriol and anger from Wellington fans, because he brought hope to them it's been a rough patch for them. So I really hope Yusuf Tale brings something to the table this season and makes it interesting for those fans. As same with the players that came from Wellington, that'll just add to the dynamic, like Durante and whatnot.
Yep.
Sorry about stealing Ivan, but I think he's going to go amazing.
Yep.
We also got a couple of young fellas from Melbourne City, Pieris, Cavallo, and Delianov.
Yep.
They're all great young players, come up in the youth system together, so I'm excited to see them. Besat Berisha, a great polarizing figure. I think it's going to add a lot of flavor to our the first real Victorian Derby, as we've been calling it. A bit of a joke there.
Yeah.
It's going to add a lot of.
you're not giving much props to City.
Not a big fan of City. We need all the teams to be a cohesive league, but I think it's the geographic location. It's just, Victory really run like Melbourne.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think Berisha is going to be hopefully bring some experience and hopefully mentor our forwards, because he's just a wealth of experience there. Big fan of him. I enjoy how polarizing he is to fans, because you either love him or hate him. It's kind of like Musket in that regard. So it's going to be really interesting to have him back. Can't wait for this season, to be honest.
So out of
hopefully bring the viewers back to the league.
Absolutely. That's why we're all that's why we're all excited about you and obviously MacArthur coming in next season. So your imports that you've been able to bring in, have you been able to see them during the preseason? What do you think they're going to add to your squad?
Kone is going to be amazing. Great to the ball. Watched him in the couple of preseason games, really, really good. Diamante, he's just a great player. He's had a few shaky points at free kicks.
Yeah.
Penalties. Free kicks have been sweet. Penalties have been a bit outlandish, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The wrong direction. But pumped to see him. Curto, what else can you say? He's a beast.
Yeah. Really good keeper.
Just great keeper. Jurtek. We just got him. I don't know too much about him, but I dare say he's pretty solid, because Rudan, in the community forums, has spoken about foreign players being that we don't have to have them.
Yeah.
But the only reason we get them is they add to the dynamic of the club.
So overall, as you guys work your way through the season, what are the expectations from supporters? Are you going to be just looking to... are you going to be aggressive early? Are you going to be hoping and pushing to be finishing as high as possible? Or do you think the support base is going to be happy with, just getting your... dipping your toe in and looking for a moderate finish to the season, try and qualify for finals?
Being removed from it, I think anything top four is a great finish. me being a fan, I want to take home some trophies. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want some silverware. So either way, I'm happy. Top four, that's a successful season. But I definitely like to start getting that silverware cabinet going.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, if it's a bit of a slog of a season and you guys finish just outside the top six, how do you think that is that going to be perceived as a failure, or are you? What do you think that Rudan's goals are going to be for the season? He's going to be, he knows how difficult this league is. Is he going to see it himself as a failure if they don't qualify for finals?
I don't think it's himself as a failure, but maybe I think the multiple venues will probably be a hindrance.
Yep.
Between Ballarat and Geelong, and then training Caroline Springs. But I think there's a lot of metrics for the success of the team. And anything below top six would obviously be fair shit. But I think everyone will be comparing it to when the Wanderers came in with that fairy tale finish, you know what I mean? So No matter what the result, it's always going to be in the shadow of that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, put your money down. Where do you think Western United will finish at the end of the season?
I'm going to say third.
Third. That's ambitious. I love it. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to hear. All right. And what do you? Who do you think's going to win the premiership? And who do you think's going to be champions by the end of the finals?
Sydney scare me a bit. Just being honest, they've recruited so well and heavily. Some great experienced A League players. I think LaFonda and Costa will be amazing together. So I think they'll take the premiers, and I think Victory might sneak through again. Ola feeding into Naboo and whatnot, it's just going to be dangerous for everyone involved.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking through our season draw at the moment to have a look and see when we play each other. I'm pretty sure our first game is we're first round round six, 16th of November. That'll be at Geelong. For any Jets fans that are looking to travel down, how easy is the stadium to get? I haven't actually been to Geelong Stadium myself. How easy is the stadium to get to, and whereabouts can a fan get a drink before they go to the game?
Barwon Club, great venue. We're doing a lot of our drinking there.
Yep.
When I was in bands, I did a few shows there. Great venue. They have surfies. Every little creatures, they're delicious. Like, there's great beers there, great people. It's pretty easy to get to. There's a train line. I think it's V-line, so it's a bit more comfortable, and there's a toilet on the train.
Yep.
If you're coming from Tullamarine Airport.
More than likely.
If you're coming from Avalon, I think it's a couple buses.
Yeah, Avalon. So, I think Avalon's the easiest one to get to, because I'm pretty sure that Jets don't fly from straight from Newcastle, so that's going to be the easiest one. Beautiful. Mate,
that's wicked.
Yeah, really appreciate you you coming on. Now, if people want to check out your podcast, how's it been setting up a new podcast and gaining listeners and all that sort of stuff? How are you guys finding it?
Well, it's been quite interesting. It's something different. None of us have done podcasts before. We just did it out of the need, because everyone was talking about the team, but no one had consistent information, so we've tried to create a forum for that.
Yep.
It's been a lot of fun, quite challenging. I respect podcasting a lot more, trying to create content.
Yeah.
Quite difficult, but it's been a lot of fun. We're starting to get consistent numbers building up to the season. I think our first podcast, when it first came out, had 100 views in a month.
Yep.
We've just destroyed that in the last couple of ones since our loose sticker interview. So, it's been an amazing experience. You can check us out at All Out West Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, West Podcast on Twitter, and search your feed on any podcast player, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, what have you, the All Out West Podcast. We're on it all. And thanks for having us aboard, mate. Can't wait to talk again before the season.
Yeah, absolutely, mate.
Before our game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, really appreciate you coming on, mate. And, yeah, everyone check out the All Out West podcast and have a listen to what's going on with one of the new teams down there. And, yeah, we hope to catch up with you again before our game in round six, going all the way down there to Geelong. So, mate, good luck for the season, and we will hopefully speak to you again soon.
Back at you, mate.